Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 102, 1063 The Game. Sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com will be with us later in the program. We'll get into a lot with the Tennessee Titans with PK. So looking forward to that. Welcome your participation as always, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we've gone through the Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward part of this with the number one overall pick. And as we're going to do all off season, if you don't do that, you're going to have to go find a veteran at quarterback. So which veteran is that going to be? We brought up Aaron Rodgers yesterday and went through his numbers from last season, discussed the pros and cons of that at age 41. Kirk Cousins, we expect to be available in March when the Atlanta Falcons, according to Charles Robinson, really don't really have a choice but to exercise his right to become a free agent. So we'll see that. And if that continues to be the case, if he wants to keep playing, all those things. There's Justin Fields. There's a lot of options that we've gone through on the veteran quarterback front. I guess I'm approaching it today from this standpoint. What makes the most sense for Brian Callahan? Like, if you're Brian Callahan and you're evaluating, which I assume he's doing right now, your options at quarterback, and you get through the end of it and you say, you know what, we've got the number one overall pick. I'm just really not sure about Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, and I just feel like with where we're at with our organization right now, the veteran quarterback option is the best way to go, and we'll figure out the long-term answer either a year from now or 2 years from now. Which one of those options makes the most sense? Is it Rodgers? Is it a guy like Justin Fields? Is it taking a flyer on a guy like Trey Lance or Zach Wilson and hoping that in their second or third stops that they're figured some things out and they become this year's version of what Sam Darnold was in Minnesota? Like, if Darnold makes it to free agency, is that the best option? How do you approach this if you're Brian Callahan looking at the veteran quarterback market?
Well, you approach it how, you know, with what you feel about these guys. Again, we talked yesterday about Jake Browning. Maybe he truly believes that Jake Browning is a starter in this league just waiting to happen, and they can try to figure out a way to try to get him. But does he love any of these guys? No, I think Kirk Cousins, you know, it was just he had a weird month, but I still think that guy's got 3 good years in him. You know, the long-term answer thing is what everybody wants, but if you find the right short-term answer, again, then you can be the Detroit Lions and be sitting here as a one of the favorites to get to the Super Bowl as a number one seed with a guy who was on the trash heap 3 years ago. You just got to have the right one. Are any of these guys, do any of these guys look like that? No, but I mean, I probably didn't think any more of Goff 3 years ago than I think of Cousins now, you know?
Or I mean, the difference is the age, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, like, the difference is the age, yeah. There's that. There's also just the big picture question of, so if you're Brian Callahan in the Titans and you love one of the rookies and you're like, okay, this is the way we're going to go. Okay, so we already know that you have said very, very glowing things about Will Levis.
Yep.
Which, again, a lot of people agreed with you after Levis's rookie year, but then we saw what happened this year. So then, you know, like if it just takes some time next year, and maybe whoever they draft is going to be good, but it takes some time, you have your typical rookie ups and downs, then it gets to like, okay, so does Brian Callahan know what he's looking at?
Exactly.
When we're talking about quarterbacks?
Yeah.
And if not, and then they just went 5-12, okay, that might be it. You know, Brian Callahan may just be better off with a veteran.
It feels like the choice at quarterback for him this offseason is going to determine whether or not he's still the head coach this time next year. As we sit here today, that's what it feels like to me. Like, whether it's drafting one of those two guys or picking the right veteran quarterback, it feels like the reality of whether or not he is still Titans head coach this time a year from now largely is going to come down to that. Like, do you make the right decision? I mean, one thing we're going to get into later this hour is, like, is Brian Callahan a lame duck coach heading into this year? I think you can make the argument that he is. I don't know that I'm convinced that he is, but I think you can certainly make that argument. So what changes that? Like, if I'm him as we sit here today, knowing that it's not just going to be solely his decision, like Chad Brinker obviously is going to be heavily involved in this. Amy Armstrong is going to be involved in this. But if I'm him sitting here today, I'm probably thinking, which option can help me win the most games immediately next year? And maybe that's not the right approach for your long-term health as a franchise, right? Like, if you feel like Shedeur Sanders is eventually going to turn into a really good quarterback, then that's probably the way you should go if you're the Titans. But if I'm Brian Callahan, I don't know that I'm thinking that way. I'm probably thinking, yeah, how can I win the most games possible immediately and try to salvage what was a disastrous first year for me and get back in the good graces with this owner, with the new power structure that's in place, and show that I have a clue of what I'm doing, right? Like, I think that's probably the way that I'm approaching it if I'm Brian Callahan. Now, will he be able to actually do that? I don't know.
I don't know why he would. Yeah. So he can want that, but I think that it's pretty clear that Brinker is going to have the final say on this. So that's, and again, it's like, then you get into all the stuff of them and them working together with, as Keith said, with Dwight Schrute, yeah. Whenever Dwight Schrute comes in to the office and that back and forth on that, you know? Obviously Brinker is hoping for a 5-year grace period and draft and develop. So
yeah.
if he thinks that one of these rookies could be the guy, then then you proceed that way in free agency. And maybe you pick up a backup, one of these guys as a backup, but you're not going for one of the top guys. And again, the top guys aren't even necessarily all that great. So
you can make an argument some of the top guys are backups.
Exactly. I mean, obviously, like, in the discussions about this, like, if you're Brian Callahan, that's not something you bring to discussion. Like, guys, I don't want to get fired next year.
Sure, exactly.
You know? So,
but
can we try Kirk Cousins?
I also think it's a tough spot as an organization, because I feel like if you're hanging on to Brian Callahan, then you should probably trust Brian Callahan to do what you brought him in to do in the first place, and that is evaluate and mold the quarterback.
That's what a logical franchise would do.
If not, like, if you don't trust him to do that, then why are you keeping him, right? Like, that's a big part of why he's here. And I realize that's a big part of why he was here was for the Will Levis part of this. Well, that's done. You know, we got, you know, texture that says all this talk about who they're going to go get and they're going to push Levis in next year. I don't think so. Like, I think Brian Callahan is basically said without saying that Will Levis is done. Doesn't mean he's not going to be here, but they're not going to, their plan is not going to be to start Will Levis at quarterback next year.
No.
So, and I don't think it's going to be anybody's plan. It's not going to be Brinker's plan, not going to be his plan. I get all that. So, if you're him, like, I'm still here, you still are trusting me to be your head coach, so let me handle quarterback. And whatever, I think his voice and his opinion on what they should do at this position should weigh very heavily into the direction they go. Now, will it? I don't know. Like, Chad Brinker may just say, I hear you. I love Cam Ward. We're taking Cam Ward. So you're going to have to work with Cam Ward.
Work with Cam.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, his voice should be valued. But, yeah, that first year, I mean, that first year hurts. You know, it hurts your – it takes some equity away when the guy you said you were so excited about plays like he did.
Yeah.
You didn't really make him better. And then the GM gets fired.
Right. So if you're looking at one of these veteran options, I think there's pros and cons to all of them, which is why it's not a great spot to be in. Like, Kirk Cousins, I'm with you from yesterday, I think checks every single box in terms of the leadership, the teammate, the positive force in the locker room. Like, all those things Kirk Cousins is great at. Can he play anymore? Like, he was awful to end the season, to the point where he lost his job. So is he just totally falling off the cliff here? Or was that some weird one-month run where he just was awful and kept turning the football over? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. Rodgers is 41, and Rodgers has got a lot of baggage that comes with him. Rodgers also, if he's on, pretty high-level player and might be your best option towards winning football games. You know, we had a lot of people both on the show yesterday and even after the show talking about Justin Fields. Like, why are we not giving more consideration to Justin Fields? Like, Justin Fields won some games this year with Pittsburgh, and then as soon as Russell Wilson was available to play, they made the decision to go with Russell Wilson. Like, I watch Justin Fields play, and I say, you know what? He's got a lot of talent. Every now and then he'll make some throws where you're just like, wow, that's a heck of a throw. I think too often he's too late in his process. He doesn't see things immediately. And it's gotten him into a lot of trouble that way. Athletically, there's a lot of things he can do that I think could really help you, specifically behind an offensive line that's been bad. But there's also a lot with Justin Fields that just has not materialized, which is why he's in the spot he's in on this second team as a backup quarterback and now probably looking to be on his third.
Yep. I'd vote for him, for the record. But it's like – it's just because it's the least bad of the options. But Cousins is right there. You know, the thing about Cousins is he I think when he thinks he really can't do it at a high level, I think he'll get out. And also, by the way, I think he'll be a much better announcer than Tom Brady if he so desires, if he wants to be. That's a guy who has way overperformed, you know, and way he's been an overachiever, like way overachiever starting from college. So if there's a way that he can get back to being a good player, then I think he will. And so, I mean, I think you can feel good about that. If he's still playing, that there's a chance that you got a pretty good quarterback. It's just, again, how much are you going to fix that offensive line? Because he cannot play for a team that doesn't protect him.
Ted Durr, 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Sam to the program. Sam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are we doing today?
Good.
Hey, y'all are talking about the offensive line, and that's a perfect segue because I'm just over here thinking, when are we really going to address the offensive line? And finally, we get a top one pick, and finally, we have an opportunity to address it severely. Why not just trade back, do what the Eagles can do, get an amazing offensive lineman, and get a quarterback in the second round? Jalen Milroe is going to be there. Why not take somebody who's from the Alabama system, who's very coachable, kind of like Hurts similar game. Take a shot, second-round pick, Jalen Milroe, go first round and get an offensive lineman and get more draft equity when you trade back in the first round as well. I feel like that's a win-win-win.
Thanks for the call, Sam. I understand the idea of addressing the offensive line. Number one, is there an offensive lineman in this draft that's worth taking as high as you're going to take him? I don't know. We'll see. Could you, like, how far are you trading down? I guess is the question.
Yeah, exactly. This is just not, I mean, there's some years where it's like there's a left tackle who's number one, right. The number one pick. Brugler has a 2-round mock today, so, which is very interesting, by the way. Shedeur going 6. Mm. That's interesting with Titans taking Cam 1. But, yeah, the first time I'm getting to an offensive tackle is Simmons from Ohio State, at 10. So, I mean, look, if you love one of those guys, you got Membu from Missouri. But, again, there's a lot of these guys that are tackle guard guys like Will Campbell from Miami. Yeah. From LSU. A lot of guys are like, it looks like more like a guard in the NFL. And I know you love hearing
that'll go over well.
Yeah. Banks is the guy from Texas, is another guy people think is more, possibly might bump inside. It's just not a great, OT draft. But there's guys, and you could do that. I probably like the Milroe idea there the least of the things he said.
Taking Milroe in the second round seems like a good way to get everybody fired. That's just my initial thought on it. I like the kid a lot. He's just way too inconsistent for me. Way too.
I don't even
think he should be in the NFL draft right now. I think he should have gone back to college.
I agree. I mean, Milroe and Quinn Ewers are two guys I'm like, take NIL money.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I like we talked about earlier on the show, mid-season. Oh, okay. He looks like a first-rounder. End of season.
Played terrible.
What the heck happened?
Yeah. 615-737-1025, our phone number. What are your thoughts on the quarterback options for the Titans to get to coming up next? Paul Kowarski will be with us later in the program. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Paul Kowarski from PaulKowarski.com has weighed in. Says, finally, address offensive line after back-to-back first-rounders, according to that caller. They have taken Skoronski and Latham in back-to-back years in the first round.
Yep, they
have addressed the offensive line.
20.
We'll see how well.
Let's see. First rounder in 20, second rounder in 21, third rounder in 22, first rounder in 23, first rounder in 24.
Yep.
Yeah, they've been trying to draft the offensive line.
Varying results.
Someone pointed out in free agency, go get Trey Smith, which of course.
Sure.
Boy, would that have been a better pick in the fourth round for John Robinson back when he came out of Tennessee.
Yeah, or the fifth.
Yeah,
because I think he went in the sixth.
That's right, yeah. I know that Devin Fitzpatrick was, I think, the fourth-round pick, like, moved up to get him. Dez Fitzpatrick. Yes. Did I say Devin? Yeah, sorry.
How impactful Dez Fitzpatrick's tenure was here.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of angry reaction to Milroe.
Yeah.
I mean, calm down.
People talking about jumping off bridges. Don't do that.
Going with my guy Dane here, friend of the show, who we'll have on at some point here. In his view, it's three quarterbacks in the first two rounds, and it's your obvious top two who are the only two first rounders, and then Milroe in the high in the second. So that's a very interesting thing,
Look, if he's at his top level, then I think he can be a good NFL quarterback. Problem is his bottom level is just bad. Like when he's off, it's bad football.
I saw enough bad football from him in the second half of this year that I'm completely scared away from him. And again, I think that he's a guy who, because of the, I think he's a guy who, in theory, could be something like Lamar Jackson in terms of you build an offense with a QB run game around that.
Yeah.
He's that much of a weapon as a runner. But yeah, it's just I'm scared off him based on the second half. It's very weird to me what happened. Texter says, do y'all think with NIL money in college going to affect and change rookie contracts? I don't know about rookie contracts, but it already is changing decisions. Carson Beck would absolutely be in this draft before, and he's getting more than $3 million to play at Miami after he got, I think, $1.6 million to play at Georgia last year. So if you can get that kind of money for 1 year, then, and you're not going to be a first rounder. If you're going to be a first rounder, you're still like the bonus and everything, you're making still a lot more money in the NFL if you're a first rounder. But he's probably – but I think Carson Beck definitely would have been a contender to be a second-round pick. And instead, he's going back to – he's going to play at Miami. So, yeah, it's already changed. And this is where, like, I think Milroe and Ewers, to me, both of those guys, I just – I mean, if Milroe's going to go where Dane Brugler says he is or close to that, well, then okay. Then I don't begrudge you going.
I don't either.
Ewers, I really think Ewers should have just looked for another college team.
I agree from – but with the exception of, like, if you feel like this quarterback class overall is going to be weaker than next year's, like, if you're Ewers, just come out and see if you could take advantage of that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a really – like, I still find it hard to believe that somebody's taking Milroe high second round. Like, I would be – if it ends up playing out that way, I'll be really surprised by that. Just because I just think there's so much – he's so all over the map when it comes to the way he plays. Now, look.
That's one team, though.
I said that Anthony Richardson was all over the map, too, and I didn't think he should come out, and he got drafted fourth overall. Now, it's not going very well for Anthony Richardson, so there's that.
But you can't begrudge the decision.
You can't begrudge the decision of him coming out when you get drafted fourth overall. Now, Milroe's not getting drafted fourth overall, but I'm just saying. If maybe he does. Maybe somebody does take a flyer on him in the high second round. Got one texter saying, what about Jackson Dart? What do you make of him at the NFL level?
Yeah, Jackson Dart, Kyle McCord, Dylan Gabriel. There's a lot of guys, and one of these guys will end up like probably being good, yeah. You know? But I'm just not a big fan at all of the like second, like what the Titans have done, which is second, third, fourth round flyer. On
I agree.
Like, I just, to me, there's just too many good football players, too many needs. Unless you're a team that's so loaded that you have the luxury of doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, again, like if you're Ryan Tannehill, I totally don't blame him at all for being mad when like they were close and then you go put a third rounder on Malik Willis.
Yeah.
And you go put a second rounder on Will Levis, you know? Those could be really good football players that could help your football team if you're in the win now mode as they were at the time. I just don't like that.
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com will be with us coming up next. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. And throwing it out there on the Brian Callahan front, is he a lame duck head coach heading into next year? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser. Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com is with us here on the program. Robbie and Rex Road presented by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. PK, how we doing? What's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. We're lively off air this morning.
We are.
We're energized. What's happened to
us? Is it going on the internet? I forgot to ask.
Who knows?
Are you transmitting on the internet so people hear our conversations?
I have not plugged into this unnecessary third-party video system yet.
So not yet, though.
I think we're all safe.
Okay. All right.
Could be coming, though. We'll
all
see.
Could Watch be saved by an on-site camera.
Stop MFing Chase behind the scenes.
Yeah, who knows?
I wasn't kidding, MFing Chase, but I will speak to Chase. Now, let's just get a third camera that works.
I agree. We technically have the setup right here.
It's right there.
Not quite going.
It's not even a camera. It's a cord.
Yeah.
That's not even a cord. I don't know. Whatever it is, I mean, it seems fixable.
We'll see if we can do it. We'll see if we can't get that
fixed.
No,
we won't. I don't think we will.
So, PK, we've talked a lot about the quarterbacks. We got a lot to get into with you throughout the course of the show today. There is no shortage of topics to get into here. I want to start on the veteran quarterback front. We've talked about some of the options, and I'm approaching it today from the Brian Callahan standpoint. Like, what makes the most sense from Brian Callahan? And does it feel like as we sit here today on January the 15th, is Brian Callahan like a lame duck coach heading into next year, given everything that's going on right now with this organization? How do you view the quarterback options from the Callahan standpoint and what makes the most sense for him?
On the lame duck question, I would say it's all about this. I was thinking of it from like a Steve Underwood perspective. Steve Underwood, at his best, could calm Bud down. Now, sometimes – there was just no calming Bud down, right? When he reached his boiling point, even his most reasonable advisor was helpless. All right. Now, Burke Nihil has that role to a degree, but Brinker is now pretty much his equal on the football side, right? So can Brinker, who's preaching patience and all of that, if he wants Callahan and this patience that he's preaching, and it would be pretty contradictory if Callahan's not terrible next year, for him to unless he's doing the casting blame to save himself, to want a change if they're on any kind of plot of progress, right? So is Brinker able to calm Amy? Has he sold her on this patience that he's preaching, which it sounds like from what he said, like this is the plan and I've got her on board with the plan, if you're reading between the lines, right? So does he truly have her on that? If they win six games next season or seven games and show progress, has he sold her on, hey, this is what we're doing and we're going to stick with it? Or does she have a moment where they lose to the Texans at the wrong time and this overwhelms whatever progress they've made? To me, that's kind of what it's all about.
Still, he said he heard that Brinker wants Callahan out, wanted Callahan out.
I don't believe that. I don't want to doubt somebody else's reporting, though I use reporting very lightly with Jared.
He's got some stuff right.
And the way he operates. He's got some stuff right, and he's got some stuff wrong. I don't believe that. I had a conversation about 3 weeks before the season ends that was highly contrary to that.
Why have we not heard anything on the Titans coaching staff?
I think they're waiting until the GM thing is over. Not necessarily because the GM is going to come in and quickly assess what the coaching staff did and have weight in it, just because they don't do two things at one time.
But okay. But as you know, having covered this league forever, like these guys, if they're going to get fired, they need to know now.
Yeah, and get replacements in. I think.
Well, the guys who are getting fired need to go find new jobs.
Well, I'm not particularly concerned about Colt Anderson finding another job, so that's not a concern for me.
Well, he may not be the only one.
But yes, no, I agree with you. It's not well timed, but they have proven that they're not good at doing one thing at a time. So I understand them not trying to do two things at a time.
Well, let me ask.
How's that?
Let me ask it to you this way. Is it possible?
Joe is nodding.
Since we've not heard anything, is it possible that they're not making changes to the coaching staff in your mind?
I don't think it's conceivable that they don't make one coaching change on this staff. I do not.
Like, would that
Though I think, and I do think this, I think Colt Anderson did a bad job. But I think the root cause of special teams problems started with roster construction, and I think the person that they're pinning roster construction on has left the building.
Oh, good. So Rand just gets blamed for everything, and everybody else is fine. Like if they're
was the roster well constructed for special teams at the beginning of the season,
dude? Hey, if a guy comes up the middle, I don't care if you're a mannequin.
No, I agree.
You block the guy who's coming right up the middle, or he'll block the punt and maybe kill your punter.
I agree, but there's a reason they ultimately added Justin Hardy and Daryl Worley, guys the type of whom should have been on the roster at the beginning. I don't absolve them of that either, Joe. Okay.
But again, that's only Rand's fault. Chad, it's not Chad's
fault. It's everybody's fault.
Okay. Chad, too?
Sure.
You sure?
Sure. Okay. It's everybody's fault.
Does it hurt to say that?
It doesn't hurt.
Is he going to get mad at you?
It doesn't hurt to say that, and I don't care if he's mad at me. You're going way overboard with this.
He's having way too much fun with this. Look at the smile on his face.
I'm just wondering. No, I mean, look, that's
fine. At some point, if you keep going with that, I'm going to say exactly what it is. So be careful.
What does that mean?
I mean, I know exactly where that comes from and what you're doing. So if we want to talk about it, we'll talk about it.
Now I'm so confused and intrigued at the same time.
Well, you'd be wise to get to a break before we go there.
We still got some things to talk about before we do that. So on the back of the Titans coaching staff front, I think everybody's looking for Colt Anderson. Do you think it's possible that Nick Holtz also could be out?
I think it would be second in line. And look, I don't think Frank Bush. I wasn't a fan of Frank Bush hiring. Frank Bush, you know, when you ask him who he developed, he rattles off some pretty mediocre inside linebackers from a long career. You know, Cedric Gray was hurt, but you didn't see development from Cedric Gray this year. James Williams came on as a special teamer. But at the end of the season, Luke Gifford, who's very much a special teamer, was the guy that they turned to at inside linebacker. They had a bunch of guys. I mean, none of them were very good, but did anybody emerge or develop?
Not to me.
So that's a candidate for me. But he's somehow got this kind of saintly, like, ooh, he's been here three times and he's been around a long, long time status, which isn't – that isn't the status for me. The status is, you know, how much better have your guys gotten under you? Now, it's first and foremost about the guys, and I don't think that's a good group of guys. But I don't see that he put a good shine on any of them.
What about Denard Wilson?
Denard Wilson is a very interesting question. Now, that's the one.
I'm not saying, you know, should he be fired, but it just, like, how was he viewed? Like, how, what kind of a job did he do this last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think they put some miraculous spin on it. I mean, this defense, I don't know if it finished first or second in pass defense. But, I mean, these yardage numbers.
Yeah, when they numbers, run for 300, yeah, they'll throw for 80, and you'll lose by 30.
Yeah, these yardage numbers, even overall yardage, are incredibly hollow. They started with bad field position, so they're in a tough spot there. But the red zone stuff was garbage. Takeaways were garbage. And sacks were garbage. And those are three really big numbers that if your yardage numbers are good, that it makes them irrelevant.
And points per game as well.
Allowed. Even if you take out the I think it's four touchdowns, three pick sixes, and a punt return, and they're quick to point that out. You take that out, and their scoring numbers are not significantly better without those four. So, I mean, I think Denard
Denard Wilson.
Denard Wilson can be a good coach. I think he was maybe he wasn't oversold, but I don't think he did a great job. Injuries obviously hurt them. But I do think he's a Rand Carthon guy coming in the door. And, you know, when you see Cincinnati's defensive coordinator, who is a good coach, who was crushed by injuries this year, he hasn't been snatched up yet.
And cheapness of their organization,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he hasn't been snatched up yet. I think he'll be hot in the circles of new coaches. That's a reason to move if you're thinking about moving. And he's got a relationship with Callahan. So that's something to consider. That would be a more extreme move, but I don't know where he stands. I don't know where Denard stands with Brinker.
Well, by the way, on that point, Lou Anarumo, who was the DC in Cincinnati, is interviewing with Indianapolis and Atlanta this week so far.
Don't let the Colts get him.
Yeah. We'll see.
Chris Ballard will finally
Chris Ballard,
have his revenge on the
get
NFL.
Get in there, and finally they'll win the division.
And the Colts have some players outside of DeForest Buckner and Grover Cleveland and cornerback or two.
Wait, Grover Cleveland?
No, Grover Stewart. Grover Cleveland. Grover Stewart. There's a presidential category on Jeopardy lately.
Who knew?
If only
they had been winning games.
If Denard Walker could coach Grover Cleveland, can you imagine what this league?
There should be a Grover. There should be a Grover category on Jeopardy, and there would be Cleveland, Stewart, and
Sesame Street.
Sesame Street.
Yeah.
And then you got to find two more Grovers.
An extensive category.
We welcome your input for two more Grovers for a Jeopardy category.
615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up next. Paul Kuharski in the house for the rest of the program as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Maddie says, not saying I'm a Rogers fan, but bland noodles taste pretty good when you've been eating poop sandwiches. I think that's a well put,
Maddie. Well articulated.
Yeah, how about taquitos? You can take the onion out, but like the other food is going to be onion smell. If that is what it requires and that's what is the currency in this organization, they're screwed.
Yes.
They're totally screwed.
It is that time of the day.
Onions are the currency?
Time for the Rex Rant.
That was
Rex Rant.
That was a mashup of two things, right?
Yes, I thought, two different things.
That was seamless. I thought, wait a minute. Onions are the currency.
Did you do onions?
I mean, I'm sure
currency?
There are some lands. Poop sandwiches. Some lands where onions are currency.
Could be.
Maybe. Sounds like a National Geographic special.
It does. It's
like in the movie, what's his name? Gosh darn it. Awesome movie.
That really narrows it down.
I keep wanting to say Balky from Perfect Strangers, but it's not him. It's, you know.
Yeah, that
guy. He's nice.
We all got it. It's great.
Just shut up. Help me.
That one movie.
World, help me.
Please, Balky. Somebody help him.
I'm not going to say another Balky word until we get the answer here.
Goes to Asia.
Text line, help me right now. You know what I'm saying.
No, start with Grover.
Looks like Wizard Cape. I mean, come on.
Oh, hell yeah. Looks like Wizard Cape.
No idea what you're talking about.
Oh, my God. What? Dude, it was on HBO, and then he did a movie, like, where he, you know, remember he got it, like, into the bus with the frat boys, and they were racist, and then he traveled around the country.
You can keep going.
They were racist. Oh, my God.
No idea.
Dude, where's my car?
I'm gonna sit here. I don't care. I'm going to sit here.
Dude, where's my car?
This is ridiculous. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about.
This is ridiculous on us. He's giving us hieroglyphics, and we can't figure it out, and it's on us.
It's such an outstanding explanation. Yeah, also,
it's a step short of pantomime on radio. Radio pantomime with Joe Rexroad.
Hold on.
Go.
I'm not.
We've already got about 9 different guesses on the text
People
line.
People are saying it's Falco.
It's very
Falco?
Clear.
Rock Me Amadeus? No, not Falco. Oh, my God, guys. He had.
He's making it like this is our fault.
It kind of is at this point. He's from. He's a British comedian.
Mork from Mork?
He was the antagonist in Ricky Bobby. He had the
You're
HBO.
Borat?
Thank you. Yes, Borat. God.
That's not where I thought we were going.
It should not have been that hard.
Okay.
For you.
We agree it shouldn't have been that
meanwhile,
hard.
Meanwhile, right now, look at the text line. There are like 20 Borat. No, there's like 30.
We finally
Borats.
Got there.
The problem was not thinking of Borat.
I know. You know, you're right. I'll take the blame on that.
Yeah, clip that up, Nick.
And that was a great segment of radio. So I really want to get into the media wars with PK is what I wanted to do today. But before we get into that, we should probably introduce. I did have a little bit more information to bring to the show today.
Okay.
You know, we lean on PK for his reporting a lot. I did. I did get a little bit of information. As you guys know, on Rand Carthon, as you guys know, obviously these guys do fly commercial a fair amount too. We talk about the plane, right, when they come home from games. But, they do a lot of different trips and they fly commercial sometimes. So I was told that on one of those flights, Rand actually took a second packet of peanuts.
Oh, wow.
And there were people that were very upset about it. Thank you.
He's very proud of himself for that one.
I am so proud of myself.
I'm glad we suffered all the way through Borat to get to that. It was really good.
All right, can we restart? Can we, do the thing where we're coming back from break? It would just play like we were off the air. We thought we were off the air there and we were goofing around.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Zach
and welcome
Nashville.
Welcome back, everybody.
Zach
it's
in
time
Nashville.
For the Rex Rant.
You got it first. I want to give shout-out to Zach in Nashville.
You are.
My
no,
wife.
Nick Davis from A Jar of Vicks.
Oh, yes.
An underrated one.
People who still don't understand that, I just can't help you.
So in
and the messenger and the message thing is just
well. That's what I wanted to kind of get into a little bit. I actually defended you yesterday, and I'm really not that interested in I'm not interested in getting into some. Apparently, we have like a anchorman level
a feud
media wars going on now. So maybe we need to put together a little video. We
people
put some faces
understand things
on that
and
scene
who
from
don't
Anchorman.
Understand things.
Yeah, but. But I will say, as much crap as I give you, I think that's one thing that was very much missed is that you weren't saying that you saw him. I mean, unless Brinker invited you on the plane, maybe that's the case. Did Brinker have you next to him on the team plane? Okay, so you weren't on the plane,
and I wasn't at Will Levis's pro day.
Right. So people who worked with Rand Carthon were saying these things about Rand Carthon.
Yeah,
that's an important
and we're upset by them. That's two sentences. If you can't comprehend those two sentences, you shouldn't be in a position where I am hearing from you. I mean, it's so basic.
I don't understand. Obviously, we talked yesterday about the interview that was done across the street with Rand Carthon. I don't really understand even from his perspective, making that sound like it was a shot at you. All it takes is reading the article to know that it was not you writing those things from your personal perspective.
Well, one of them about Rand Carthon. And one of the hosts proudly announced he hadn't read the article.
Yeah.
So that's a great position to come at to comment on it.
Yeah.
Now, I listened to the interview.
Yeah.
Painfully. Yeah. So I feel I can comment on it.
Have you updated your playlist?
No.
You're still listening to Springsteen deep cuts from 1976?
I was thinking of updating my reading list. That book about death sounded interesting.
I totally admit, there was a book about death he talked about?
Yeah, yeah, it was like what you experience right when you know you're dying or right before you know
that
you're
sounds
dying.
Awful.
Which was kind of an apt metaphor. Career death and death.
So what we've learned here is Rex Road.
What I'm saying, Joe? Are you getting it yet? Or
I get it. No, I get your joke.
Rex Road loves Kuharsky and was hell-bent on defending him yesterday, which I'm cool with.
Exactly. I was just trying to do that. And just I'm intrigued by the media wars here. I'm intrigued.
I think there's a media war. There's some accurate, significant, like pertinent reporting, and there's some people who don't understand what that is. I'm not going to Rand Carthon's home. I'm not going to be invited to Rand Carthon's home, and I don't crave to be at Rand Carthon's home. If he thinks that's the key to a healthy media relationship, he really doesn't understand how media works.
Hell no, you're not going over there. Like, yeah, Breaker's got a great little
fondue
going on here tonight at the Breaker household. I'm not coming over to Rand's.
Any good reporter's not looking to go to anybody's home. I'm thinking to one person's home and all of the time I covered. And it was Wycheck after the Music City Miracle. I wanted to do something in-depth with him, and he said, why don't you come to my house? And so to do the story, I went to his house, and I incorporated his family a little bit into the story. That's one time in 30 years that I've been to somebody. I think I went to Keith Bullock's house to cover some video game thing where they had, like, guys were playing other guys in the league. You know, so I watched him and listened to him talk to the dude he was playing against from, I think he might have been, it was his house. So I've been to two houses in my life, and not like for social engagement.
So you and Brinker mostly just go out to dinner. You don't stay in?
615-737-1025, our phone number. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com.
How about you and your guy? You live in the same neighborhood.
Get into all
you have cookouts?
Tennessee Titans.
You probably have had cookouts.
No, it's not the same neighborhood.
No? Adjacent neighborhood?
Nicer neighborhood.
Well,
neighborhood.
When you're at the football games together, do you cook food and sell it for the old nights?
I've done some work to the
tailgate
concessions a little bit. Yeah, sure, yeah. Sure. Right.
Well, that's a lot more than I've ever done with anybody in a front office. So
more drinks and less dinner?
Hey, have you reached out to your sources?
Top Golf.
You reached out to your sources to see if...
Could you put source on that rather than
Aukerman
sources?
Is joining Vrabel out there in New England?
I don't know.
If Mike Vrabel hires Craig Aukerman, I mean, my Twitter is going to be unbelievable. I'm going to go back and get the blocked punt from Paige,
Aukerman!
Which there's video of, and I'm going to send it to everybody I know in New England and say, this guy got Ryan Stonehouse nearly paralyzed and then found a high school job at which he did this.
Hey,
God, that's brutal, man.
Paige's pretty good this year.
I hope he gets that job.
615.
I'm rooting for him.
Why?
Because he's a nice guy. The problem with him is that you guys had to ask him 17 questions every press conference. Hey, what do you look for in someone covering kicks? What? It's his fourth year as special teams coach. We're still doing this?
I blame you. Fourth year special teams coach. He was just as bad as he was first year and sixth year.
Got one more hour with Paul Kuharsky coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 the game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.